In the Gospel story for the Feast of the Holy Family, the two main characters are named Simeon and Anna. Both are very, very old people. Anna is 84, and the age of Simeon is not revealed exactly, but the Gospel writer Luke makes it very clear that he too is a very old person. The mystery is that there was no barrier in their age for Anna or Simeon to immediately understand by spiritual intuition who this child was that Mary and Joseph had brought to the temple for the presentation. It's very remarkable that these two old people should come to that immediate understanding, when by comparison we see how Jesus, when he began his public ministry, chose young men to work with him, and it took them, as the 12 apostles, all the years of their ministry even to begin to understand what it was that Jesus was about, and that he really was the Messiah sent by the Father to save his people. The reality is today that we acknowledge that those young men, the apostles, did not understand until after the resurrection, after working with Jesus for at least 3 whole years. And yet that pious couple in the temple knew at once. It is very easy for us to understand that Luke, the Gospel writer, is making a comparison for us in this day and age in the 20th century, saying something to us that we should understand better about the strange phenomenon that we call today the generation gap, something which has never been as critical as in our age. Critical because today and for some years now, this polarization between the old people and the young people is really a tragic occurrence in our history. It simply is no longer enough to hide behind a trite phrase that has been used for centuries. We've always had a generation gap, so why worry about it? We have never had a generation gap as we do today. Today there's a breakdown in communication, there's a lack of trust and confidence, and there's a continuing moving apart between the old and the young that has become truly tragic. Young people complain, rightly so, not only that the members of the older generation are not accepting what they're saying, but that the older people are not even listening to what the younger people are saying. They feel that no matter what they are trying to say, or how they are trying to say it, through word or action, the answer that comes to them from the older generation always seems to be, mind your own business and do what we tell you to do. And yet today, the younger generation is authentically too concerned about our world. Our younger people are simply too much in love with the life that the Lord has given them to live. And our younger people, because they are becoming so highly educated, are becoming too much informed and also too numerous to accept that kind of answer from the older generation. And we older people in this congregation should realize that they in turn can learn a great deal that is worthwhile from the young. And the young people should remember that too, that they can learn from us older people. Not like a young college boy, he recently said that things happen today so quickly, he doesn't even have the slightest idea what the young people are talking about in high school. A generation gap of 4 years, he said. A man recently said, "You know, there are three things about growing old. One of them," he said, "is a real distinct tendency to forget things. And the other two things," he already had forgotten, "but I can tell you what they are. One of the other things about growing old is a tendency for older people to lose a love of life. And yet, that is exactly one of the wonderful things about today's younger people. Younger people today have an intuitive grasp for what the New Testament writers are saying about the goodness of life, that every moment the Lord has given to us is a good moment, that life is good because it is pulsing with the beat of the living God, in whom we live and move and have our being, that the living God is present in this moment of life now, and present in every single moment of life that we have, calling us to live it fully and to live it completely. And yet so many young people sometimes become depressed and bored. How sad it is to meet people who have lost that feel for living life to the full. And that is why it is so good to find older people who still do live life to the full. Recently, a very old man said, "I get up early every morning because I don't want to miss a single minute of life. Every minute is pulsing with life," is what he meant. And that, in turn, is a very important part of the younger people's message today to us in the older generation. And more than this, we older people can learn from younger people a reverence for a life that they have lost or hardly ever had. For example, it's tragic to hear older people who have become hard and inflexible say to each other, "We've always had wars, we'll always have wars." And the young people who are asked to kill each other and to die, they may as well be realistic and accept this as simply an inevitable consequence of life. And yet we know today that a large number of our young people are simply not buying that any longer. They are not accepting that simplistic way of analyzing our lives. They are not blindly accepting any longer that it is the will of God. The spectacle of Christian people on both sides of the battlefield, sprinkling holy water on every single war that comes along, and sprinkling holy water on both sides. It works the other way too. Young people can learn from us older people. Young people can learn how to listen. There is something about the rich experience of life, the experience of life and of years, for which there is absolutely no substitute. It is not something that can be learned from books. It must be experienced. We happen to live, fortunately, I guess, in a part of the world in which most of our youngsters have never known what it is like to live in real need. Most of our young people have had everything that they have ever wanted. If you would even dare to bring up what the hardships were like in the real depression of 1929, they react with a half-amused, half-cynical kind of look on their face. How could it be otherwise? They simply have no point of reference. Any kind of recession that they have tasted has no point of reference to what it was like in the 1930s. And the older people might just as well say to ourselves, who are we to blame them? This is the way we raised them. We have given them everything in a silver platter. Not long ago, an educator was in charge of a program involving 35 students, all young men in their early 20s, made this observation. He said, in the year I've worked with these young men, I've gotten close to them, and I've come to the conclusion that there's not a single one of them who has ever had anyone say no to any of them and to redeeming it. And the teacher was not bitter. Those were not angry words. He was a good, decent man, a church man in the finest sense of the word, and he was simply speaking out of a deep, deep concern that he had for these good young men, because he had grown to love them. He said the tragedy for these young people is that the truth is going to be, as they continue to grow up, that they will have to find out the hard way that there are no's in life, that life contains some boundaries for everyone. Life does contain setbacks for everyone. Life does contain hard work. Life does contain some restrictions for everyone, not just for young people, but also for us old people. And he said, these young people, never having had a no given to them, will have to learn the hard way. It always reminds me the need that we have for the young and the old to listen and to learn from each other. A true story of what happened to a little boy in the plains of South Dakota. The little boy had wandered away from his home and walked out across the plains when no one was watching. And as the hours went by, the parents began to look for him and couldn't find him. And the state police were called, and then the Boy Scouts, and then neighbors. And many people joined in that search for 3 days, until finally there were hundreds of people that were moving through the prairies, hoping to find the little boy before he succumbed to the elements of cold. And then, on the morning of the fourth day, one of the searchers got a bright idea and said, let's all organize in one long line, and we'll all join hands, and we'll sweep up and down the prairie until we find the little boy, because he could not possibly have gone that far. And they made a very impressive sight. Hundreds of people, young and old, holding each other's hands as they moved across the rolling prairie land. And on the third sweep around this area, they found the little boy. But by this time, the cold prairie nights had taken their toll, and he was lying there dead in a little small ditch behind some bushes. And gently, one of the men picked up the little body and carried it to where the mother was waiting. And when they put the body of the dead boy into the mother's arms, there was complete silence from those hundreds of people. And then the mother looked up and said, why didn't you join hands sooner? Why didn't you join hands sooner? And if the old people and the young people today cannot learn to listen and to learn from each other and somehow work together, then perhaps the next generation, out of the ruins of the present civilization, will be asking the very same question with the same deep anguish. Why didn't you join hands sooner?